For the first time ever, the leading cause of death among children is firearms. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 22nd day of April. Thanks for being with us. In other news, the ghost drone is headed to Ukraine. Verizon blames gas prices as business slumps. McDonald's customers are rethinking their options, or so it would seem. Anheuser-Busch InBev to take a $1 billion hit by leaving Russia. Meanwhile, after weeks of deflection, Koch Industries said it's looking for an exit from that country. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on a possible recession. We've got the Wall Street Report and executives taking attendance, like in who's really coming to the office? Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and yes, welcome once again to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful that you are along for the ride again today. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, it has never happened before. In 2020, the leading cause of death among children and teens was firearms. NBC News is reporting that guns became the leading cause of death among children and teens in 2020, killing more people ages 1 to 19 in the U.S. than vehicle crashes, drug overdoses, or cancer. More than 4,300 died of firearm-related injuries that year. That's a 29% increase from 2019. All of this according to a research letter published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The letter analyzed decades of mortality data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Homicides, rather than suicides, made up the majority of firearm deaths among children and teens in 2020. Total gun killings, which disproportionately affect younger Americans, went up by 33% from 2019 to 2020. Well, it was a terrible day on Wall Street as the major indexes all tanked due to a host of issues from lousy earnings reports to concerns about inflation, the Fed interest rate hike, and the war in Ukraine. Those numbers from today, I'll have those for you in just a bit. Well, the U.S. ramped up production of what is being called ghost drones, especially for Ukraine. Bloomberg is reporting that the latest $800 million package of weaponry President Biden is sending to Ukraine includes dozens of Phoenix ghost drones the Pentagon says were expedited specifically to aid in the fight against Russia. So what are they? Well, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby told reporters the drones have similar but distinct capabilities to the Switchblade drones the U.S. has already been providing Ukraine to target both Russian personnel and tanks as the war drags on. A senior defense official, speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss the weaponry, said that the drone would be useful against a variety of targets. The Phoenix Ghost was included in that latest weapons package that Biden announced on Thursday that also featured 72 155-millimeter howitzers, 72 tactical vehicles, and 140,000 artillery rounds. The Switchblade drones can fly more than 24 miles and loiter 40 minutes before attacking with an armor-piercing warhead. The drone operator uses a tablet-based touchscreen fire control system with the option to pilot the loitering missile manually. What we learned. Verizon cut its sales forecast and blamed it on high gas prices. Bloomberg is reporting that Verizon Communication had its biggest drop in 2 years after cutting its full-year sales forecast as rapid inflation and rising gas prices coincided with a slowdown in store traffic. The largest U.S. wireless carrier is also facing heated competition from AT&T and T-Mobile. That, combined with a more anxious consumer, caused Verizon to lower its projection for sales to be about flat this year. That zero growth projection stands in great contrast to what had been projected as a 3% growth for 2022. Earnings are now expected to be at the lower end of Verizon's prior guidance. That news saw Verizon stock go down by $3.10 or 5.6% Friday, closing at $51.91 a share. When companies set prices, there are a number of factors that go into that consideration, from wages to cost of goods to marketing and many more. And inflation has impacted them all. McDonald's knows all too well that while customers might swallow a 6% increase from them and other fast food chains, they are not likely to pay $10 for a Happy Meal. Forbes recently reported that prices at limited service restaurants are up roughly 8% since 2020. Chipotle has increased prices by 10% since last year, while McDonald's is charging roughly 6% more than it was in 2021. We've reported in the past that research from Revenue Management Solutions shows consumers may be nearing their breaking point as to how much they're willing to pay for the convenience of takeout food. The report shows that visits to restaurant drive-thrus have dropped by 7% year over year. Consumers have reported one less visit per week or four fewer visits per month to pick up food at a drive-thru. 40% of consumers say they believe they're getting less value from restaurants than what they were just a month ago, and 82% say it's because of higher prices. So the question remains, for McDonald's and other chains, as well as locally owned eateries, how much higher can prices go before restaurants start losing enough customers that it significantly damages their bottom line? So, have you altered your eating out habits? If so, or if not, drop us a tweet at IOB_NewsHour and tell us about it. In a move to get out of Russia, Anheuser-Busch will take a hit of about $1.1 billion. Bloomberg is reporting the company will sell its stake in a Russian joint venture, taking a $1.1 billion hit as the world's largest brewer joins the global move to exit operations following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The move comes in the wake of decisions across the beer industry to halt operations in Russia. Danish brewer Carlsberg cut its earnings guidance and said it's facing a $1.4 billion write-down as it moves ahead with plans to exit Russia, while Amsterdam-based Heineken said in late March it plans to sell its businesses in the country. In a related story, Koch Industries, which has been deflecting calls to leave Russia, has now said it's looking for a way out. CBS News is reporting that Koch President David Robertson told employees in a memo that Guardian Glass, a subsidiary of the Wichita-based industrial conglomerate, is working with its local managers in Russia to find an exit strategy that also ensures the safety of their employees. Guardian, one of the largest glass manufacturers in the world, has roughly 600 workers at two factories in Russia. The Guardian earlier this month asked its Russian workers to shut down the plants, prompting Russian authorities to repeat warnings that such moves could lead to their prosecution and imprisonment. Coke, the second largest privately owned business in America, with $115 billion in annual revenue, had drawn criticism for continuing to operate and sell products in Russia despite that nation's assault on Ukraine. More than 750 companies have said they are voluntarily curtailing operations in Russia to some degree beyond the minimum legally required by international sanctions, while others continue undeterred, according to a tally compiled by Yale research professor Jerry Schoenfeld and his research team. According to popular information, political groups supported by Charles Koch, the right-wing billionaire who is chairman and CEO of Koch Industries, have opposed broad economic sanctions against Russia. Well, even with high inflation, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, the once chair of the central bank, has said the U.S. economy has borne an enormous set of shocks and said she does not expect a recession in this, the world's largest economy. Yellen told CNBC that problems with tight job market and the inability to find staffing have not affected her overall outlook of how the labor market will fare long term. She said, quote, "The U.S. labor market is doing extremely well. And frankly, I take that as the strongest indication of how the economy is doing and that we've continued to create jobs back above pre-pandemic levels in terms of output, end quote. Yellen also said she thought inflation would likely continue to remain high as the world and American economy deals with unprecedented effects of a war in Europe and the resulting supply chain problems. Well, Friday was a rough day on Wall Street as the Dow sank by 981 points to end the day and the week at 33,811, while the NASDAQ fell by 335 points to close at 12,839, and the S&P 500 was off 121 points to 4,271. Blame it on poor earnings reports and concerns about the Fed and interest rates. The drop for the Dow was the largest since October of 2020. For the week, the Dow dipped by 1.9%, the S&P dropped by 2.8%, and the NASDAQ declined by 3.8%. Since the start of the year, the Dow and the S&P have retreated by 10%, while the NASDAQ is down by 17.9%. And finally, there is this. The New York Times is reporting that business leaders who implemented return-to-office plans after years of home working are wondering if they need to start tracking employee attendance. During the pandemic, when a third of the workforce went remote, many managers saw that tasks were being completed, and so they felt no need to check on whether or not employees were doing full workdays. Execs now have to decide whether to let hybrid workers keep those freedoms or start monitoring whether they report to their desks on in-office days. That's a move that might alienate employees empowered by historically tight labor markets. Some managers at Goldman Sachs are keeping spreadsheets tracking which team members have swiped badges to enter the office. Nicholas Bloom, a remote work expert at Stanford, says such policies are misguided. This is what he says, quote, "It's like hiring a soccer player and saying, I don't care how many goals you score. I only care about how many hours you train." That's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Champ Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great weekend. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.